The gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I read for you Matthew 11, beginning with verse 2. Matthew 11, verse 2. Listen. Listen. The Spirit of God is in these words. When John the Baptist heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God. Advent, a time of waiting. We've been waiting this whole season long. And we've learned the importance, the value, the purpose of waiting. Yeah, waiting. And then, we hear the prophet Isaiah talking about flowers in the desert. And the people with prior disabilities and aging limbs who can move fluidly once again. Listen to what the prophet has said. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap for joy and the mute tongue shout. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Yeah, that's what we want for our waiting. We want a world that's colorful and rich. We want a world where people are happy and safe, where the lame leap and the mute shout. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be worth waiting for. I'd really like to see that. I'd really like to have that. And all we know is that if we truly hear what God wants, then that is what will be. Yeah, that's it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah was a prophet. He was talking about what was coming when the chosen ones, the people of God, would be redeemed and saved from exile, from poverty, from hunger, from being dismissed and forgotten, from living at the bottom of the social barrel. He was talking about a world that would be in place when God finally came to save them. And let me stop there for just a second. What was it the angel said to Joseph, the fiancé of Mary, about the son that she would bear? The angel said that this child would be born of the Spirit of God and that he, Joseph, was to call him Jesus because he would save his people from sin. So here's Isaiah speaking about 700 or 800 years before the birth at Bethlehem. Isaiah speaking as a prophet of God about what the world would be when God comes to redeem and save the people of Israel. He wouldn't have said anything to the people of God that God hadn't told Isaiah to say. It must be true. It must be coming. It will be glorious. And you know what? That's what we're waiting for. Yeah. And that's what they were waiting for. And what happened? What did they get? They got an infant. How is an infant supposed to change anything? An infant can't even speak, can't even stand up, let alone save his people. He was born into utter poverty. How could he get the attention of leaders in a palace or educated clergy in the temple at Jerusalem? We want the entire world changed. How could an infant who can't speak, can't even chew, supposed to completely and utterly change the entire world? You see how God's people, God's genuine, following, believing people could have been confused, rattled, disappointed, and want to keep on waiting. I mean, come on, what is this? Then you take a realistic, level-headed look at John the Baptizer. John, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, was born to be the herald of the coming Messiah. He knew that. That was his calling. That was his purpose. He knew it. His parents knew it. He lived it. He told the people loudly. He preached about it. He baptized because of it. He knew the Messiah was very close. He knew it. He knew he was unworthy. He knew that he wasn't fit, as he said, to untie the Messiah's sandals. He knew that all he was supposed to do for all the world, for all the people, for God, was to get the people ready to proclaim loudly the coming of the one for whom they had been waiting. He did what he was called to do in his life. He did it for the people. He did it for God. He did it. Then what? He was in prison. What? Dark, cold, dank prison. 8x8 cell in the basement. And why? Because he did something right. He saw sin and he named it and he spoke to it. He was correct. He was one who was speaking truth. And they threw him in jail. This was a man who knew his scripture. He had been taught for many, many years at Saturday school. He knew the Hebrew texts, including Isaiah. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. John the Baptizer knew that text. He had heard it. He was expecting for the world to look like that. It was getting closer day by day. His job was to herald it in, to herald it in to the world. Can't you see him raising his hand just a little and saying, did I get that right? 'Cause I'm in jail. I've been working all my life, doing what I believed I was supposed to do. I've been telling people to hurry up, get ready. I've been baptizing them because they knew I was right. We were close. It will happen. We've been waiting generations for this, and it's almost here. Hello? I'm in jail. Are you the one we expected? Or are we to wait for another? When God came into the world, it was not what anyone expected. Throughout Jesus' life, things were not what we expected. When he told stories, when he walked through the streets without a sword, when he ate with tax collectors and spoke with prostitutes, when he stood before Pilate, when he hung on a cross, when he died there, it was not what we expected. It didn't look at all like we'd been told. Everything Jesus said and did and taught was upside down. Everything. Are you the one that we expected? Or are we to wait for another one? And Jesus' answer was not what we expected. And isn't that the point? When we walk through life, when we serve in the church, when we do the work of God, we should not look for our expectations. We should look for God's. And unless we look for God's expectations, we will miss them. We will miss all of it. How will we know when we're doing God's work and we're doing it the way that God wants it to be done? How will we know? The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. Then, in an effort to assure them that they hadn't misunderstood, Jesus added this. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I have to be looking for God's answers in order to see them. See, when some people pray, they say things like, Lord, if you're up there, give me a sign. But God's signs are everywhere, all the time, in every place, always. People pray, Lord, if you're real, heal my disease. And he does, but not the way they were expecting. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Doesn't that question break your heart? A change of place causes a change of perspective. No longer in the wilderness, no longer baptizing in the Jordan River, no longer having people come to him when all he had to do was wait for them. And they came, some for miles. He waited and they came. Now, John is in a different desert, no longer prophesying, but questioning, with people probably positioning themselves as far away from him as they could possibly get. When you're held captive and imprisoned, your questions change. Your yearnings change. Your needs and your expectations change. John's failure of confidence really shouldn't surprise us. After all, so far, what he predicted and longed for had just not arrived. For when John announced the coming of God's kingdom and proclaimed Jesus as God's anointed, you see, he expected the world to change, but now, months, maybe years later, things seemed really the same. Likewise, as we might want to deny the darkness of the season by adding candles to the Advent wreath or putting presents under a tree, all it takes is a loss of a friend or a job or a loved one to prick our good cheer bubble and leave us as down in the hole and as dark and dank as John's prison cell. And when that happens, we too are at best concerned and very often disappointed. Disappointed with ourselves, disappointed with the world, and even and especially with God, which feels all the worse at Christmas time. How am I getting Jesus wrong? Do I look for God in the ordinary arenas of home and work? Can you imagine that God is using you in the various roles you live as an employee, as a parent, as a friend, as a spouse, as a citizen, as a volunteer, to extend God's love and blessing, to show God's care for all creation, not in this church, but everywhere? We will find a precious gift, the gift of Christ, if we have the eyes to look and see beyond our own expectations, if we look for what God is doing. Go and tell John what you see and hear, said Jesus. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus came to reverse things. What was dead has been raised. What was blind now sees. What was lame now walks. When we get the gift of Jesus, our lives are changed. The sign that Jesus has come is that people are changed. Look for God in the world. Look for God in your home. Look for God in your friends, your family, yourself. Look not for what you expect to find, but look for what God expects. Then, only then, you will see. May it be so.